The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come, lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhage for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talita kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around, and they were utterly astonished. He gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So it's nice to be getting back more and more back to normal, isn't it? Yeah, this time last year I was kind of talking to a camera and nobody around and, you know, wondering was anybody listening. So, but now it's nice. Now, in the Gospel this morning, which you've just been listening to, there are many, many, many things, and there are many kind of throwaway lines that I want you to realize. So there is Jesus. He arrived over to the other side and he got out of the boat. First line, He remained close to the sea. So he didn't intend to stay there for long. He was probably on his way somewhere else. And while he was there, this is important, this synagogue official called Jairus came along and said to Jesus, "My daughter is desperately ill. Come and do something. Come and heal her." And Jesus now, whatever he intended to do, he was interrupted, right? Did he complain? No. Apply that to ourselves. I got to apply that to me. How do I deal with interruptions in my life? Sometimes not very well. You know, why does she want to see me now? Can she not come another time? I'm busy. How often we say that? I can't do it now. I'm busy. So none of us, I think, enjoy being interrupted. But when our life is interrupted, it can be a very, very important time in our life. Because very often, when our lives are interrupted, is that God breaks in. God breaks in. And so many people have found that. You're going along very well, doing well, suddenly something happens in your life and there's a big interruption. And God very often breaks in. So I was thinking this morning, just picture for a moment, the people in Miami, down on Miami Beach, who went to bed on a Thursday evening. Did any one of them for a moment think of the interruption that was going to happen in their lives? Interesting, I'm going off now of what I was going to talk about. Interesting, one woman who wasn't sleeping very well said that she heard noise and like something falling off or a bit of concrete falling somewhere the night before. But she didn't take any notice, nor would I, nor probably would you. And so, look what happened. Look at now all the family and friends and relatives waiting for some news. And the latest news is there's 9 people now. The number of dead has increased to 9 and they're missing 150. And the chances of finding them is very, very slight. What an interruption. And I have found, and I'm sure you have found, that interruptions in our life can help us to see things in a totally different way. And one lesson that comes from that, you got to appreciate every day, every moment. And then, just as he's setting off with Jairus to heal this little girl, 12 years old, a woman comes, and there's a crowd following him. And she etches her way through the crowd, and she touches the hem of his cloak. This poor woman has been suffering for years. She's gone to every doctor in the area, and she couldn't be healed. In fact, she said in her own words, she was getting worse. And then she met a whole different kind of doctor. Here was a doctor on his way to do a home visit. Not a doctor says, come to my office. He's on his way to do a home visit in the house of this synagogue official. And this woman, as he's on his way, she makes an act of blind trust, absolute trust, and reaches out and touches the hem of his garment, and she's cured. Now, just 2 minutes reflection just on what that's a critique of the health system. Here was a doctor in the form of Jesus, if you want to call him that, who was offering free health. And the Catholic Church, the Church, they never got that point. They regard people who can afford insurance and as a privilege and an entitlement to free health. Jesus was telling us, everyone, it should be free health for all. Nobody should be denied health. And what's happening? Most of the people in this country and all over the world do not have access to good medical treatment. Now, for some people, you might not want to hear that, but it is a fact. And if you have good health care, you are privileged. Appreciate that. But at the same time, be aware of the many, many, many people. There are many people here in this parish who don't have that. And look at other countries. Look at India, Bangladesh, all over Africa. What they would give to have good medical treatment. So a lot in the gospel today. And the most important point of all is, Jesus says, who touched me? And everybody's kind of, well, it wasn't me. And then this woman is now frightened. And she comes up and says, it was me. And she kneels down before him. And he says, daughter, your faith and your trust has healed you. Do you get the importance of that statement? Your faith and your trust has healed you. It wasn't me, he says to the woman. Because we think if we pray to God, he will work some kind of magic trick. But very often we're praying, but we don't have the faith and the trust of that woman. What a wonderful example. It wasn't me, Jesus says to her. It was your faith and your trust, absolute trust. Can you honestly say that you have that trust? Absolute trust in God. Today, at this very moment, in this country and all over the world, there's a massive distrust. People are going around believing all kinds of lies, and all kinds of untruths. Just not a prepare to accept facts. And people, I met people very recently who said, I don't trust anybody anymore. What a horrible thing to say. And if I don't trust anybody, I'm not going to trust God, am I? I am not going to trust God if I'm cynical and mistrustful and distrustful. Trust, you either trust or you don't. How you do anything is how you do everything. And then we move on very briefly to the young girl. And can you see the connection? Here's a young girl at the beginning of her womanhood. The other woman, we don't know how old she was, but she must have been still a young woman. And Jesus heals her. Not Jesus, she heals her. She heals herself by touching Jesus. So remember that word, touch, trust, the two T's. And then he goes into the house of Jairus. This little girl, she's dead. She's lying there in the bed. And Jesus makes this unusual statement. She's not dead. She's just asleep. Well, what would you think if you were there and Jesus said that? You would be thinking, is he crazy? And they ridiculed him and they laughed at him. And he then said, she's not dead, she's just asleep. I don't know I presume some of you have been to funerals, and in the funeral mass, when we come to the preface, there's a line there that is very consoling and very important. And it is, life is changed, not ended. And so he said to the little girl, Talita, come, rise up. And she did. And it was a wonderful example of death is not the end. Death is not the end. It's the beginning of a whole new life, of a life you never dreamt of, that you could never for a moment understand or comprehend, a whole new life. And that was the point Jesus was making. Two lovely, beautiful stories in the gospel this morning. And it involved two young women, a young girl on the verge of womanhood, and an older woman. And Jesus, this is important, he broke all the rules, because there was a big, big taboo in the Jewish law that to touch anybody unclean made you unclean. Now, unfortunately, and I hate saying this, but this poor woman was regarded as being unclean. And so she was ostracized, not allowed to go to the temple, not allowed to mix with normal, in inverted commas, clean people. And so by touching Jesus, she made him unclean. Was he worried about that? No. And then he went and he to the little girl and he touched a dead body. A big no-no, because if you touch a dead body, you immediately become ritually unclean. But Jesus wasn't worried about that. For one minute, for just one moment, apply that to where we are nowadays. Where we are nowadays in the church. Where bishops are meeting and deciding who is worthy and who is not worthy to receive communion. In the name of God, who can say that? Who can make a judgment like that? Huh? Give me one, just one instance in the gospel where Jesus questioned anybody who came to him and said, I don't think you're worthy to receive my help. Can you quote any one of those? No. No. And here we are in the year 2021. What in God's name are we doing? Is there not enough division in the world? Why create more? Why create more? I'm sad. I'm very sad at all that. And I wish that I didn't know about it, and I have to know about it, but I wish it wasn't happening. Is that what our Holy Father wants? No. No. He is just like Jesus. And I think I said to you before, and I'll say it to you again, in my 57 years as a priest, I have never once refused anybody Holy Communion, nor questioned their eligibility to receive communion. Never once. And I promise you here today, as long as God spares me, I never will. Never, never will. We've got to be inclusive. Can't be judging people because they're gay or lesbian or black or white. God loves us all. He loves you as you are. So we need to go back to the gospel this morning and for God's sake, trust and take no notice of all those things that are going on at the moment. Be the person that God wants you to be.